Good to see you. It's good to see that habitually you just kind of land in the same place regardless of who's here. You know, it could be me and one other and you would be in the very back. I know. It's okay. It's okay. Here's the good news. When we walked in here, I was checking the temperature. It was -8. Just a few minutes ago, it's -5. So we're warming up. It's all good. It's going to be a good day. Wow. Well, when you start watching all the church closings and everything, you know, of course it crosses everyone's mind, and we just wanted to see what was going to happen. Now, I think we're okay right now, and we'll just see what happens at 10:30. And for those of you, maybe you have just slipped in here. I can't tell. Some of you, maybe you have slipped in here from another church because yours was closed this morning, and we're just welcome you this morning as you worship with us, and we're grateful that we could provide some type of nourishment spiritually for you at this particular time on this day. Well, you know, I find it happens just about every Christmas. It's happened more so, I recall it here in the last maybe 30 years. It always comes around and it's got these two words that come together. Here are the two words. Must have. Have you seen that already? It's the must-have Christmas gift for the year, all right? So it's here. It is. How do you know? Well, it's the one that you can't find. It's the one that you want and the kids or grandkids are begging for, but it's not there anymore. And so here we're going to take a little bit of a trip down memory lane, and maybe this is a must-have that you've either purchased or it's kind of come into your life at some point. And we're going to go back just as far as 1983. The must-have Christmas gift of 1983 is this. There you go. Cabbage Patch doll. All right, so that was the must-have gift of 1983. 1989, it was a Game Boy. There it is. 1995, Beanie Baby. You got Beanie Babies? Some of you maybe in a box or somewhere there on your shelf over here. 1996 was Tickle Me Elmo. 2002, iPod. 2006, it was a Wii. Here's your gaming device. 2010, it was the Kindle. 2015, Frozen Sing-Along Elsa doll. There you go, there it is. And as a latecomer, actually, I couldn't find really what was going on in 2016, and I found it Friday before I could get an image up. But just in case you wanted to know, it is a Hatchimal, all right? I don't have a picture. I looked up Hatchimals. It's like some kind of egg with some kind of little being that comes out. Cindy, you're nodding. You've got Hatchimals, or you're trying to find them. You don't have any, okay, but you're trying to find them. There we go. A Hatchimal is the toy. Here, I even heard of a woman that was so desperate to find Hatchimals for her kids at Christmas this year that she started not just doing a nationwide search, she did an international search, found them in Hong Kong. So just in case you're looking for them, I think Hong Kong has a surplus of Hatchimals. There you go. So, you know, but you better be quick. Christmas is coming. So, you know, must-haves. This is things we've got to have at Christmas, and it becomes those things that we desperately seek for. I want to talk to you about a must-have this morning. It's a must-have, not just of 2016, it's a must-have that takes us into a new year. It's a must-have for every Christian. It's a must-have for every member of South Haven Baptist Church. It's a must-have for the individual that just says, I claim Jesus as my Savior and Lord. This must-have, you can't eat it, you can't wear it, and you can't play with it, but you sure can experience it. It's more of this. It's kind of a must-have, I would say, that is a mindset. It's a must-have of a way of thinking. It's a must-have that we each need to have that blesses ourselves and that blesses another. And I believe it's the type of thinking and the type of mindset that is modeled in the attitude of the shepherds in the Christmas story. And the shepherds' attitude is this. Their attitude, their way of thinking, was a responding to good news. I think that's our must-have, is the way we respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. How are we responding? Well, it's interesting that we are going to take a look at the shepherd's story during the birth of Christ, right after the birth of Christ, and find out what kind of attitude they had and how they responded. This December, we have been working through the Christmas story in different books of the Bible. Our series is called It's Christmas Time. It's a time for remembering several things. God's in control, remembering God works through ordinary people. Last week we talked about it's Christmas time. It's a time for releasing. We discovered how there's about four do not be afraids in the Christmas story. And we looked at a couple of those last week as the angel of the Lord approached Mary and Joseph, told them both not to be afraid. And we talked about releasing our fears and some things that cause us fearfulness at Christmas time. Well, today we're coming back and say it's Christmas time. It's a time for responding. It's a time to responding to good news. And what we discover in Luke chapter 2 is the shepherds responded to good news and how their mindset of responding is the must-have gift that we desperately need as a people for 2016 and beyond. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. This is our text this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And it was in the region, or in the same region, that shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David, and this will be the sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem, see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Here's the interesting thing, and you might have heard this before concerning the announcement to shepherds, but what we find here is that the greatest announcement of all time comes to those who are the least sophisticated. It comes to those who are on the lowest of the social class, and it comes to those, it's interesting, to those who have the least credibility about religious issues. Isn't that amazing? So what we have is a group of people of they're non-religious, they're at the bottom level of any social class, and they're probably, if you have sophisticated, these are just really kind of some crude type of laborers here that are actually, you would think, these are the least of the ones that such a significant announcement would have been made. Actually, what we discover historically is that shepherding had changed from the time that we're in the Old Testament, where it's a family business that we can even think about in the life of David, where it's a family business and where it's the livelihood there in the Old Testament. When we move into Jesus' time, shepherding has become a despised occupation. It's kind of the low of the low. Here's what it looks like. Actually, you were considered more of an outcast in Israel than you were something to be respected or admired. The work of a shepherd made you ceremonially unclean. And the nature of the work kept you from going to temple and go through the process of being spiritually clean. And so what that meant is that you were kind of backed off. People didn't want to be around you just because of the nature of your work, and you couldn't get to temple because of your work. And so what we find is that shepherds are notoriously irreligious and ranked by rabbis among prostitutes and other habitual sinners. So when we put it in that type of context, and when we consider the shepherds, and this is the type of individuals they are, and actually this is how they're viewed in society, it makes you wonder, wow, this is even more significant that Christ is being announced as such as these. And don't we find it interesting that the announcement of Jesus' birth comes to shepherds? And we find it later as Jesus, as an adult, one of those beautiful statements of the scriptures. You go into the book of John and those I am statements, and Jesus associates with the shepherds. And you know what he says of himself? I am the good shepherd. The very announcement to those that are despised is the very type of people that Jesus says I'm identifying with later in his adult ministry. So the shepherds, we find they're initially onlookers to the Christmas story that ultimately became participants in the Christmas story. And when they heard the good news of Christ's birth, they didn't just sit around and it wasn't any longer business as usual. There was a response to what they heard. They responded. And truthfully, I believe this is what God is always trying to get his children and the followers of Christ to do as well, is to respond to him, is to respond to what we know, to respond to an experience, to respond to a relationship, to do something about what we have. Jesus, our Lord, is always trying to get you and me to move from being onlookers to being participants, from being onlookers to being participants in the not just the Christmas story, but the Christian story. Here, let's put it in our language of today. He's trying to get us out of the stands and trying to keep us from being spectators only to participate in our Christian journey and not just sit back and watch it go by, but say, God, you have placed me in a world and you've placed yourself within me, and now I am in the world, and how am I supposed to respond? Yes, Jesus even reminds us of salt and light in the midst of our decaying and dark community, for sure. God's calling us to respond to good news just like he did the shepherds, and this is the must-have attitude for the believer, the follower of Christ, and for South Haven Baptist Church. This is a must-have attitude that we respond. How do we respond? Well, let's look at how the shepherds responded, and we'll move from there. So there's three things that we discover here. There's a lot more that we could unpack here. We have time for these three areas, and here's where we go. We should respond to the good news, first of all, as we look at these shepherds, by rushing to join God's activity. By rushing to join God's activity. Let's consider how they did this. Verse 15 and 16, again, back in the book of Luke chapter 2. And when the angels had left them and they returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Verse 16, listen to what they did. And they hurried off. This is a rush. They're going off. They hurried. They didn't just kind of dwell there for a while. They said, this is something that has to be done immediately. They hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a feeding trough. You know, this being hurried off, I've heard it said this way. This is the first Christmas rush. And they sure weren't out buying gifts, and they sure weren't looking for Hatchimals, were they? But they sure were looking for the gift of gifts, the Christ child, the eternal gift of Christ. They responded to good news by rushing to see what they had been told. Let's not miss this. This rush to be a part of the work of God, it was a rush to be a part of the work of God and what God was doing, listen, globally, what God was doing in the world. They had to rush and go see this thing. It was a rush to be a part of God's activity. Here's news. Let's be aware of this news. God's activity is all around us. The activity of God is all around us. You say, really, I'm not recognizing the activity of God in that great. I find that when I fail to see the activity of God, it's because I'm not sensitive to the leading of God. And I find that sometimes in life. I've been in situations to where I walk away from a situation. I'm thinking, wow, that was a God moment, and I wasn't even aware of it. It's one of those times where you just kind of like, wow, I just missed it. You know, really, the window opens for a brief second, and there it is, and I walk away. And after I've walked away, the window's closed, and I'm thinking, wow, that was a God moment. I find that God's activity is all around us. I find that the activity of God is great. I find that God's activity is around us, just like the shepherds said, they had a sensitivity to what God was doing. And we might even say, well, if I had angels appear to me and they were singing glory to God in the highest and in all this, you know, I'd be very sensitive to God's activity as well. Well, we understand that we have met the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's wonderfully within us. And it's a matter of just sensing that He is there and His activity is great around us. And what comes with God's activity is always a sense of urgency. And that's what we find here with the shepherds. They had a sense of urgency to be a part of the activity. We must do this because we live in a culture. Today we live in a culture that prefers to diminish the babe of Bethlehem. It will be diminished. We live in a culture that denounces the reason for His coming. And we live in a culture that decries believers from keeping a Christ-centered Christmas. It's just all around us, and we just got to be careful that we don't allow that to happen in our hearts and lives. It happens at Christmas time. We should always be about rushing in to join the activity of God. You're looking for opportunities where God is at work and just stepping in to that occasion and being Jesus in someone's life. I'm reminded of the young boy who, back in the Depression era, knew that a circus was coming to town and didn't have money to buy a circus ticket. The circus ticket was $1. And so his dad told him, he said, you can go to the circus. I have no money to give you. You'll have to go find your own work and get a job and do whatever you want in order to earn some money to get the ticket. And so the boy set out to earn the money for the circus ticket. And finally, he got his dollar, and he goes, and as the circus, he hears that it's coming to town. And on the day of the circus, there was a huge parade going through town. All the animals, clowns, and everything was coming through the middle of town. And the boy was so excited that he had gone and he had purchased his circus ticket. And he goes to the middle of the town and he watches the parade go by, all the beautiful sights of the circus coming to town. And at one point, a clown was coming by, and the clown got a little close to him, and the boy steps out and just amazed at this clown, and he hands the clown his ticket. And the parade goes on, the boy now enthralled with this huge parade. When the boy gets home, he rushes up to his parents and he begins to explain to them of everything that he's seen and how wonderful the circus was. His dad pulled him aside and says, listen, I want you to understand. He said, you only saw the parade. He said, you didn't see the circus at all. It just reminds me that at Christmas time, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in festivities and we can miss the activity. We can get caught up in festivities, which are all good, and we're all doing those things, but let's not get caught up so much in festivity that we miss activity, and that's the activity of God. We can miss the main event of Christmas if we're not careful, and by missing the main event of Christmas, what we discover is that we have opportunity that we don't take advantage of, and we don't take the opportunity to walk into someone's life and help them to understand that there's more. At South Haven, we're about inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. And Christmas is a great way to extend and help them to see that there's a hope at Christmas. There's a hope in a Christ child, because the Christ child grew up into a man and went to a cross and died for our sins. And that's the hope we have in Christ. And that's the hope we have for eternity. So I want to give you a challenge this morning to rush, just like the shepherds did, to be a part of God's activity. And it's just a matter of being sensitive. And so I want to give you a simple tool, and this will be available to you when you walk out of here in just a moment. I've got three cards. They're banded in a little rubber band, and we just want to put these in your hands. It's a simple tool to invite someone to church. Here it is. On the back of it, you know, it just says right there, it's Christmas time. Experience it at South Haven. So here, today when you go to lunch, today, this week while you're out shopping or whatever you're doing or wherever you are, just take a card, hand it to somebody. Here, all you have to do is ask them the question. Will you be worshiping anywhere this weekend? I want you to know at my church, we have a Christmas Eve service on Saturday and a Christmas Day service on Sunday. And those services and a map is on the back of the card. You just hand it to them. Here, it's just a part about, here, it's a, taking some initiative and stepping in and kind of creating. You're not creating the activity of God. It's already there. Just be aware, the activity of God is wherever you go. If you're a believer in Christ, the kingdom of God is within you. You take the kingdom and presence of God wherever you go. It's just about identifying the need of somebody else and stepping into their life, and all of a sudden you open the door for a spiritual conversation. All of a sudden you open the door for someone that may not realize that they have a place to go on Christmas Eve with their family, or maybe Christmas Day. It could transform someone's life, a simple card. Those will be available to you as you walk out of the doors here in just a few moments. By doing this, you're a part of the activity of God. You're inviting others to join you, to be a part of something significant. It's as simple as that. Responding to good news. It's a part of responding to good news. Just like the shepherds did, they rushed to join God's activity. It's just like us. We are identifying the activity of God that's all around us. What else do we have here from this particular story? We find that the shepherds hurried off, or they rushed into the activity of God. But we also find that we should respond to good news like shepherds did by reporting what we've experienced. Did you pick up on that they reported? So they rushed off. Then here at verse 17, after seeing them, and that's Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child, what did they do? They reported. It says there in the text, they reported the message that they were told about, they told about this child. And all who heard it, what were they? They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Shepherds simply reported what they had experienced. Seeing the baby Jesus was not enough for the shepherds. They wanted to share what they had experienced. You remember, this is a remarkable thing, because here we have the least religious, the irreligious of the group of people that the announcement of the birth of Christ had come from are now the evangelist of Christ. Now they are the mouthpieces of God. Now they are the ones expressing what has happened. It's not religious people, it's irreligious people that are doing that. Everyone they met, they heard about angelic visits, angelic songs of praise, a trip to a manger to find the Christ child, and it even included what this child was born to become. Evangelists, unlikely candidates for proclaiming good news. You may feel like you're an unlikely candidate for proclaiming good news. You may feel like you're an unlikely candidate for reporting what you've experienced with Christ. I believe as we feel like we're unlikely candidates for the ones to proclaim Christ, I think we're being misled. I think we're doing ourselves a disservice. I think we're listening to the wrong voice. Because what we find is that the good news that we've experienced was for our personal salvation, but the good news that we've experienced is also for us to open our mouths and tell somebody about what we've experienced. You understand what the shepherds are simply doing? They're simply giving a testimony to what they had experienced. They're simply just saying, let me tell you a story about what happened to me here at this point in time and what was said to me. They're just telling the story about what had happened. If you claim Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you have a story to tell. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be, you know, some are dramatic and some aren't, but you have a story to tell. So if you can honestly tell me this morning, I've had a personal experience and an encounter with the Savior of the Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. He's transformed my life, and based upon that relationship, I have this hope for an eternal life, and I know that He is my Savior, my God, 100%, and I know that heaven is my eternal destination. You have a story. You have a testimony. How did that happen in your life? I find one of the most challenging things that Christians have today is one of the things they're just challenged in is articulating their story. I don't know. Can you articulate your story? Can you narrow it down and just talk about what happened, what your life was like before you met Christ, how you met Christ, and what your future looks like with Christ? Your story really is in three parts, isn't it? My life before, my life how it happened, my life afterward simply reminds us to share our story. Let me share this with you. Let me ask you this. Does your spouse know your story? Do your children know your story? Do your grandchildren know your story? Share your story. Let me tell you one of the most insightful things my wife did, Amy did, when our children were born, after my children were born, and they become, both my boys came to know Christ at 7. When they came to know Christ at 7 years old, she immediately grabs pen and paper and goes and writes down their story. Every word they said, it was just a verbatim. Immediately afterwards, within minutes, they had prayed to receive Christ. She writes it down. We've got a full page. This is their story. Every now and then, as they were growing up, as they became, hit their teen years and stuff like that, sometimes we'd pull it back out and say, remember this? This is your story. We'd remind them of their story. Why would we do that? Well, seven's a young age to receive Christ. We didn't want them to forget. We didn't want to, here's the language. Here's what you said. This was a real event. This is what happened. Let me give you a suggestion for your Christmas, whatever your Christmas tradition may be. How about incorporating this one? How about sharing your testimony in your Christmas celebration? Why not taking a time? Maybe you have a celebration at Christmas where you read the Christmas story. That's a good thing. What about sharing your story? What about reading the Christmas story and say, now let me tell you personally how this story has impacted my life personally, because the child became a man and died on a cross and did that for me. Let me tell you how that fleshed out in my life personally. What does that do for you? It just takes the Christmas story, makes it really real in the life and those in your family. Maybe your children need to hear that, or your grandchildren need to hear that. Here, what if you say this? Well, what if I have lost people or people that are in church or don't care to hear my story? Well, let me tell you, if they're in your home, you get to call the shots, right? You do what you want to do. You know what? If I've got lost people or unchurched people in my home, I'm still going to be a Christian in my home. You come into my life. I want to tell you about my life and more. So you get to share a story of how Jesus has changed your life. Why would you not want someone that doesn't know Christ to know that story? Just like shepherds, you can report to anyone what you've experienced. And it all starts with the child named Jesus coming into the world. That's reporting what we've experienced. We need to think about, well, what have I experienced and how can I report that to somebody else? This is shepherd response. This is must-haves for our walk and our faith in Christ. And the shepherds have responded these ways. They rush to join God's activity. They're reporting what they experienced. And then there's one more thing that they did here. They and sharing their good news, and that's how we should respond as well, that we should respond to good news by returning to life as normal, but with changed hearts. Luke chapter 2 verse 20. Don't miss this, because they've hurried off or rushed off. They reported the message, and then in verse 20, the shepherds returned. What'd they do? Where are they returning to? Well, they're returning, but they're returning back to their work. They're returning back to where they came from. Business as usual in the workplace, but listen to the difference. They're glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. They're returning to their job. They're returning back to their responsibility. But don't miss this. They're returning back to their job, but they're returning with a changed heart. The shepherds return to the hillside tending sheep, doing what they had done previously. Now they have a song of praise in their hearts. Now they have a new outlook on life. There's a difference here in these individuals, these shepherds. God had done some type of transformation process. They go back to business as usual in their work and their activity, but the way in which they're doing it in the heart in which they are now going back is different. You know, at some point after December the 25th, you're going to return to normal. Things are going to get normal, all right? We're already looking for normal, aren't we? Tree will come down, decorations will come down, the lights will go off. Normal, whatever your normal is, it will be normal. But let's not miss this. Same routine, you know, even that, you might go back to the same routine. Same job, same home, same schedule, same school. But don't miss this. You don't have to return with the same heart. You can return to your workplace different. I believe the best of humanity comes in the month of December. I believe we see some of the best that people have comes to the surface in December. We're more generous. We emphasize family more. We give the Lord a more prominent role in our lives. It all happens in the month of December. There's something about Christmas that does that for us. What would it be like if you took the spirit of Christmas into the rest of your year? You see, what if it looked like you took your normal and all what normal is, and you took that into January, okay? Except with a changed heart, with the spirit of Christmas. I wonder what the atmosphere would be like in your home. I wonder how your workplace would change if you took a spirit of Christmas into your workplace. I wonder how your giving and your service and your church attendance would change. I wonder how your parenting and your grandparenting would change. I wonder how you would treat your spouse differently. I wonder if you would treat people out in public differently. I wonder if you would get less frustrated and see them more as individuals that God loves and that needs a relationship with Christ. I wonder if we'd see things differently like that. I wonder if we'd be more courteous and more patient and more kind and more loving. I wonder if we would even consider it a privilege to give a random gift to somebody just because. No reason at all. Thought you might need this. You see, it's interesting how the shepherds returned back to their normal, but their heart was different. We've all got normals that we're going to return to going into the 26th of December and even into January. But what about our heart, and how do we looking at people differently? Just because Christmas Day passes and things go back to normal, it doesn't mean that we have to go back to the normal ways of seeing people and doing things in our hearts. Taking the spirit of Christmas into the rest of the year begins in our hearts, just like it began in the shepherds' hearts. Here, there's that great theologian, Ebenezer Scrooge. Y'all remember him from A Christmas Carol? There he is. How about this quote that at the end of that story? I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. That was after the visits of the ghosts on his Christmas Eve. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. That's good advice. Shepherds return to their normal, just doing it with changed hearts. What a great response and great lesson we learned from shepherds today. I was reading of two women who were doing some shopping in a mall. It was at Christmas time, and they walk up to one particular window, looking at all the merchandise in the window that was for sale and that was on sale. Everything was very festive and very Christmassy. Right in the middle of all the merchandise for sale, there was a small nativity scene. As their eyes landed on this small nativity scene, right in the middle of all the other traditional trappings of Christmas, one woman turns to the other and she says this, "Well, what do you know about that? Even the church is trying to horn in on Christmas." Absolutely. I say, let's horn in on Christmas. I say, let's get right in the middle of it and announce what it's all about. Horning in on Christmas is doing what the shepherds did. That means we're going to rush in to go and join God's activity. And that means that you can find God's activity before 12 o'clock today. Right around 1. Some young lady, young man, whoever it may be, waiting on your table. Someone at Walmart, someone at Hy-Vee, someone at QT, wherever you may go this week, wherever you may be. It's as simple as saying, I'm kind of horning in on Christmas, and let me help you find out what Christmas is about. These little cards will help you to do that. Let's report with a testimony. Maybe you can make a special Christmas of someone in your family, but just saying, hey, let me tell you my story and why Christmas is so important to me. And then think about your return. Life is normal with changed hearts. It's Christmas time, church. And Christmas time is a time for responding. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for the response of Christmas that we have now been, that is modeled for us by these shepherds. Thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of not just knowing you, but representing you as ambassadors in this world, that we are the light of the world, the light of Christ within us. Be the light of the world. We are that savoring agent of salt, Father, that refreshes and brings flavor to the world. Father, may we take that seriously. May we take that with a great amount of responsibility. And Father, may we respond in a way that honors and pleases you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Responding is always a good thing. Maybe there's something that God has spoke to you this morning and there's an immediate response. You need someone to pray with you. You need someone to encourage you. In a brief, just time of invitation, a time of response, I'm going to be standing right here if there's anyone that wants to come forward. For those of you who say, you know what, I don't need that, but I need to respond to something in some other way, that communication card that's in your bulletin is a great way to respond to something God is speaking to your heart about. Maybe it's God respond. You want to respond to understanding who Jesus is as your personal Lord and Savior, and He is calling you into a personal relationship this morning. You say, what do you do about that? Well, if you would just let us know, we want to have a conversation with you. We believe it's so important that we want to spend time with you, helping you understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're sensing right now you want to respond to Him in baptism. You understand that you're saved and Christ is your Savior, but you have yet to be baptized. You can let us know on that communication card as well. And maybe you're just saying, I want to respond. God is leading me to join fellowship with South Haven Baptist Church. How do I do that? Our new members class will be cranking up in mid-January. We'd love for you to be a part of that. And so just indicate on there that you would like to do that as well. Anything else on there, maybe a prayer request or something that God has laid on your heart, we will follow up with you this week. Right now, I'm going to ask you to stand with us. Please, Scott, lead us in this time of response. Church, we're going to go ahead and as we begin to take up our time of offering, and I'm going to go ahead and invite our guys to come forward as we begin to do this. I just want to bring something to your mind is that, church, we are, as of today, 99% of budget. And wow, what a beautiful thing to come with two Sundays, this Sunday and next Sunday left in our year, and that we are about to make our annual budget. And so I just say that I'm saying thank you. Thank you for supporting Vision. Thank you for supporting your church. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your giving, and you're making that such a priority of your life. That's an exciting time for the life of our church. May that type of giving continue in 2017 as we have a new budget to meet. This giving allows us to do so much in our community and around the world as we support so many endeavors. Thank you so much as you give. Let's pray for this time. Father, thank you for this time of giving. Thank you for these resources and how they reach, Father, around the world and touch people's lives. But Father, also how they reach deep within our hearts and remind us of how we are to be the best managers and stewards of the resources you have given us. And Father, thank you for capturing our hearts so that we can be about capturing the hearts of others for Jesus. We give this time now into your hands. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, once again, it's so good to see you this morning. And if you are a guest this morning, even if you kind of came in from a church, another church that you normally worship with, I'd love to meet you personally and just say thank you for choosing South Haven to be your place of worship for today. And I'd love to put a gift in your hand. We have a gift for our guest today that happens right towards our main entrance there at our welcome desk. I'll be there to greet and to meet and to just be with anybody. If you're one of our just faithful members, come on by. I'd love to say hello to you as well as we move about our day. Be careful as you head about your day and everything, and enjoy the rest of your time. Anything else, Scott, before we dismiss?
Just looking forward to this weekend.
Yes.
And two services on Saturday night.
That's right.
And then that rare occasion where we combine together as a family on Christmas Day.
That's right.
Allow God to use you to communicate the message just like the shepherds.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Would you close us in prayer, please? Thank you.